No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot, I'm not a stranger. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Keith, who, well, he's not here right now, but he's going to join us momentarily on the big show today. To help us out to, well, to kick off the show is my good buddy Clay, or I should say Captain Clay, who has just purchased a brand new airplane. I know he is tickled pink. He is flying high, as they say in the biz. And I know he wants to share this news with the world, so I figured I'd give him that stage today on Just Plane Radio. Clay, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, and I got to clarify, it's I guess in a different tax bracket, so it's not brand new, just brand new to me.
Well, that's good enough for you and everyone else, I think, too.
It does the same thing a new one does. So that's okay.
Well, and I got to vouch for you because, you know, even though it is a used airplane, it might as well be brand spanking new, because I saw this puppy and I was amazed. I mean, I knew you had it painted, but I had no idea the interior had been redone as well. So when I popped my head inside the cockpit and I looked around, I'm like, oh my God, this thing is brand spanking new. And you tell me what, it's a 1985 or something like that? What was it?
It's an 83. Yeah, it's got 5,500 hours on it.
5,500 hours, an 83 Piper Saratoga. Right?
Yep. It's a Piper Turbo Saratoga SP, which means the gear folds up and it's got a turbo for, you know, better performance at high altitudes. And, you know, in case your fuel bill wasn't big enough, turbos help with that.
Got it. And the SP stands for what? Super Performance or some other cool acronym? What?
Yeah, something like that. And it just means it's got retractable gear.
Oh, okay. So. Got it. Which makes it go faster, sleeker, cooler, hipper, you know. Definitely, this is a chick magnet type of airplane.
Oh, it's well known that all pilots, even female ones, flying retractable gear airplane are far more well endowed than the average. So,
okay, all right. That was a little bit more information than I was expecting to get out of you today, but whatever. We'll just go with it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's fun when you purchase a new plane. I mean, it's just like buying your new car or whatever. I mean, but a plane must be tenfold that, I'm guessing. Well, just because the price sometimes is probably tenfold of what a car might cost. But, I mean, do you have that same feeling as you do when you buy a car or anything new like that or what?
Well, you really do. I mean, I've got about maybe 1,800 hours total flying and small airplanes, and about 1,600 of that is in my old Cherokee 235. So, you know, one of the things about buying a new airplane, even a, you know, one that's very similar, it's, you know, the Saratoga is a little bit bigger than a 235, faster, it's got retractable gear, a little bit wider as well. But it's just, there's a lot more to know. Your approach speeds are different. There's just a different flow to the panel, so your old checklists that you've memorized don't work, and it's much more than just, you know, having more or less power or more, you know, different kind of handling. There's a lot more that goes into it.
Yeah, well, just like any new vehicle or ride, you got to get comfortable with all the electronics and everything, and get a feel for it. And I know you've been putting a lot of hours in it just in the last week since you took delivery of this new flying machine. And are you feeling that real comfortable with it now, like just like you did with your old plane? Did you catch on that quick, or is the learning curve still in the process?
Well, I caught on pretty quick. It doesn't handle all that much differently. It's actually easier to fly than my 235 because it's a bigger airplane. It's more stable in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I haven't really done a lot of air work and stalls and all that. I've done some steep turns and a little bit of slow flight. But, you know, since the engine was new, I didn't want to do a lot of the stuff that you would normally do in a training airplane because it's a pretty expensive engine.
Yeah.
With the new paint, new interior, new engine, you get a fully refurbished airplane, but you sort of got to baby it for the first 35 hours or 50 hours or something like that.
Yeah. So. Well, you're probably well past that already with just the cross countries you did, aren't you?
Well, I'm at about 35 hours in it right now, so I got to get the oil changed in it on Monday, and then I'll be heading down to Long Beach.
That's right. Yeah, next week we're going to sync up in Long Beach, California. You're going to fly your plane out there. Was that the plan from day one, or did you decide to work this out since you got the new flying machine, or what?
It was a possibility. I haven't really made any final decisions, but it looks like my time is going to be limited. So, you know, that's what I got. I got to fly out there.
Yeah. Well, and that's why you got it. So you can zip in, zip out to these different events that you got to go to. I mean, Clay runs a dive business as well, live aboard dive boats around the world. So, you know, he has to jet set around the world, and getting that extra horsepower at that Saratoga was necessary in your case. And it wasn't just the cool factor, even though, hey, that could have played, 70%?
Yeah, something like that.
Exactly.
Have something to do with it.
That's right. It's always bigger, faster, stronger, brighter, or I don't know, something like that. But, okay, so you have increased your speed, but you were telling me when you flew into Orlando, and I got to take a look at this new Piper Saratoga, that fuel burn was coming out about to the same as your old vehicle, or what?
Well, you got to, you know, it's like a lot of airplanes. You got some options. You can either lean out the mixture, run it leaner, and go a little bit slower than the airplane's necessarily capable of, or you can pour fuel through it and go fast. So I can, you know, it turns out I can run it about 22 gallons an hour and do about 175-ish knots, something like that.
Okay.
Or I can burn about 12 to 13 gallons an hour and do about 150 knots. So at that, at the latter, when I'm running fairly lean and, you know, reduced fuel flow and reduced power settings, then it's actually going about 15 to 20 knots faster than the 235 on the same fuel burn.
Interesting. Yeah. So, but this one gives you a little bit more oomph. If you have to get there quicker, you got the power at your disposal. So it just depends on how you feel that particular day and how thick your wallet is, right?
Exactly. You know, and the nice thing about a turbo is I can burn up through 12,000 feet, still climbing at 1,000 feet a minute, which is nice, because turbochargers obviously compress the air. So when you get up to the, you know, thinner air at higher altitudes, you don't lose the horse. You don't lose the power that you do with naturally aspirated engines.
Well, good. I think. I mean, that's a good thing. Because you can keep climbing, and that just gives you more versatility, I guess, is what you're saying, right?
Exactly right. And I live in Wyoming, so, it enables me from here to go direct to California, various destinations in California, without, you know, having to weave around the rocks in between here and there.
That's right, because that altitude flying is a little bit more tricky when you get out there towards the west, I guess, right? So, yeah. We don't have that problem in Florida so much, but yeah, where you are in Wyoming and out in California, you know, it's either you got to climb above them or fly around them.
Yep, exactly. And it's it's like that old that Far Side comic. I don't know if you remember it. You know, two captains sitting in the front of a jet, and you know, you look out the windscreen, and one of them says, "A mountain goat. What's a mountain goat doing up here in the clouds?"
Oh! Yeah.
You want to avoid that.
Story. Yeah, I could imagine. That wouldn't end well, potentially. Yeah, I could see. Now, the cross country you did from Orlando back home to Wyoming. Now, I know you had planned a special trip, but in this new Saratoga, could have you done that in like a one stop hop, or what is the range generally for your plane, you figure?
Well, it varies on your power setting. I can do. It looks like somewhere in the neighborhood of, I can get about 7.5 nautical miles to the gallon, anywhere up to maybe 11.5 or 12 nautical miles to the gallon. And I carry 102 gallons.
Oh, okay. So, all right.
Usable fuel. So, you know, it really depends on how fast you want to do it. If you want to pull the power back, then you can stay up for, you know, longer than my bladder is large. And,
all right.
Cover pretty long distances. But I had my mother and stepfather in the plane, so they were not quite up for more than 2.5-3 hours at a time.
Yeah, their bladders are a little bit worn out than yours, so they would have to break more than you. So that worked to your advantage, I guess, in that sense.
Exactly. But I could drink it. You know, I always have a rule. You know, with the 235, I had a rule flying cross country that I allowed myself one cup of coffee and maybe a small glass of orange juice early in the morning before, and that had to be a minimum of like an hour and a half before I got in the plane.
Yeah.
And now I don't have to worry about it quite so much.
Okay. Well, I mean, well, if you bring your folks with you, I guess that's the issue. Or well, why don't you get one of those flying, you know, I don't know. What do they call those? The Johns? Well, Little John, right. But yeah. But you got a new interior in your Piper. You don't want to ruin it like that.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, once you break that seal off, you know, it kind of ruins that new leather smell, I guess, wouldn't it? Or I don't know.
Yeah, I think,
potentially. Just knowing that you did that would kind of, you know, mentally screw you up a little bit, I guess. But congratulations on your new plane. I know you're excited. I'm excited to fly with you.
I'll have to see. You know, one of these days we're going to have to start calling you Greg the Pilot instead of Greg the Co-Pilot.
In time, my friend.
We're counting down the hour.
It's going to happen, I swear. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Deep Water Cay in the Bahamas has been a hotspot for world-class anglers and Hollywood stars for over 50 years. They fly into Freeport or take advantage of the 4,000-foot private runway. So in as little as 20 minutes from Florida, you too could be experiencing world-class fishing, diving, paddleboarding, whatever your adventurous heart desires, Deep Water Cay delivers. So treat yourself like the star that you are at Deep Water Cay's private island resort in the Bahamas. Go to deepwaterkay.com. That's deepwaterkay.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me. I am still a co-pilot. I will be a pilot someday. And possibly thanks to Captain Keith, who joins us now via Skype from the road. But we've connected with him finally. Keith, how are you, buddy?
I am doing fantastic.
All right. So do you think you're as excited or feeling as fantastic as Clay is today with his new plane?
You know, I'm feeling pretty good, but you know, when you get a new airplane or a new toy, you know, there's just a pretty special feeling about that. So, I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was funny. You know, I've hung out with Clay many times, but he flew to Orlando and we went to lunch. And of course, it gave me the opportunity to see his new ride. And I was really impressed with it. Like I said, when we were talking to him here just a little bit ago, but you know, I could see him just beaming like he had just had a baby or something, you know, or his wife or girlfriend, whatever, you know, but yeah, it's that new car feel, that new plane feel. It's just like you're excited about getting into something that you've been looking forward to for some time. And I could just see it with him. It was, you know, it was contagious as well, because I was excited. I was like, are we going to go for a flight? And no, it was, no, that wasn't going to happen.
Well, you know, he would have taken you on a flight if you knew how to fly.
Well, whose fault is that, Mr. Flight Instructor?
Hey, I can only do the part if you show up.
Well, that's true. Well, I'll show up, but you're out of town. See, Keith has an alibi because you've been working on the road here a lot lately. So you can use that excuse, and I can use that excuse as well. So actually, we can blame Captain Ed because he's not here today.
Well, that's right. He's out on the road, too.
Yeah. What is he doing exactly? He's doing some kind of flying thing, isn't he?
Well, he's working with Cessna this week in Wichita.
Aha.
So we are at Flight Training Professionals, a Cessna Pilot Center. And so from time to time, we go over there and, you know, we work together.
Yeah. And other times, yeah, he covers one base, you cover the other. So
that's right.
Fair enough. All right. We'll get the full report on that next week here on the big show. But back to this new airplane thing, because, you know, it kind of brought me back to that place where, man, I want to be here someday. I want to be taking delivery on my new airplane and that kind of thing. But I got to tell you, I was really surprised that this thing was a 1985, because it's part of, you know, part of the deal, and you probably are more familiar this with this than I am, obviously, is that when you buy a used airplane, the previous owner or whatever deal you negotiate, it's not like you buy it as is. He's like, okay, I'm buying your airplane, but I want this, this, and this installed on it, and then I'll come buy it or something like that. That's how Clay described it to me. Is that how it goes generally or what?
Well, it all depends on, you know, as most things are, it depends on how, what the financial position, let's put it that way, what the financial position of the person selling the aircraft is in. Mm-hmm. You know, if they need to get rid of it really, really quick, you know, they're willing to, you know, deal with you a little bit more. But typically in an aircraft sale, you're going to get a current annual on the airplane. Mm-hmm. And you really, really want to get that done by somebody who you know and you trust, and not by the person who's been doing it, because they're going to find all the little problems that are wrong with the airplane, and you use that as a negotiation. I would make the analogy that if you're going to buy a home and you have somebody come in and do a home inspection, mm-hmm. and find all the little things wrong with it, and you use that as a negotiating tool. Hey, I want this fixed, or no, just give me, you know, $3,000 off and I'll take care of that myself.
Right.
That type of thing.
Sure, sure. Well, I understand that, but he had his airplane totally repainted, and they totally gutted the interior and had all new interior put in. Is that just something that Clay used his negotiating skills and got that deal done? Or is that more normal in the aviation market than you would see, for instance, you know, on a home sale or something like that?
No, Clay got himself a really good deal.
Ah, okay. He's just a great negotiator.
He is.
Yeah, because well, I mean,
that's why Clay is in the business that he's in.
Well, true. Yeah, you got to be able to work a few deals to manage some of these dive boats that he manages around the world. I understand that. So he's just business savvy in that regard. But yeah, he played it off like, oh yeah, all the airplane guys do this. I'm like, what? Well, I guess now I know that when I do buy an airplane, I need to have Clay put the deal together for me.
There you go.
You know, because it was impressive. When I saw the plane, I'm like, wow, this thing is brand spanking and new. And he had the total exterior painted, so it looked brand new on the outside. But when I popped my head in the cockpit, I was blown away, because I thought, oh my gosh, this is a brand new plane. I had no idea it was a 1985, because literally he had the entire interior and the chairs and everything redone. It had that new car smell of fresh leather and the whole thing, and it was pimped out. It kind of looked like a limousine on the inside. You hear what I'm saying? Be
sure.
Cruising in style, baby. So the only thing is, like, when they repainted the airplane, I guess they did something to the flaps, and he was having some minor adjustments made there at the Orlando mechanic that actually Ed hooked him up with and said, hey, fly it into Orlando and I'll have one of our buddies look at it for you. And they were looking at it and says, well, when they painted it, they messed up the sheet metal on the flaps a little bit. They didn't quite put it back right. And, well, you're going to have to take the flaps off and all this stuff. Is like, ooh, this doesn't sound good. You hear, like, the cash register starting to jingle, you know? Like,
cha-ching,
oh, boy.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, cha-ching. Like, and you can see Clay's face going, oh, brother. He says, well, yeah, wait a minute. Hold on. My sheet metal guy's right over here. Let me have him take a look at it. He looks at it and goes, well, yeah, you got to take this off here. Hold on just a second. Let me grab a tool. And he comes over and he brings over a 2x4. And he starts taking a 2x4 and bending the sheet metal back into place where, you know, it was a real minor adjustment. But he did it with a piece of 2x4 and got it set up, and it trimmed it out perfectly for him. And Clay said, yep, it flies perfectly now. And the minor adjustment had been fixed with a 2x4. It just takes a little aviation ingenuity to tweak these things, or to know the right people, I guess, right?
That's right. I mean, airplanes are, you know, there's just like anything else. You just got to know how to fix them.
Yeah, or know someone who knows how to fix them, which would definitely be...
In your case.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not a Mr. Fix-It kind of guy. But, you know, Clay was... it's just all the people you know. I know you guys, and you know all those people that know how to fix them. So as long as I have some kind of chain of command I can navigate through, I should be okay owning an airplane, you think?
You definitely need to know people. In, you know, even in our position, running the flight school and having aircraft and stuff, you got to know people in aviation. Aviation, although it's fairly large, it's a very small community, and bad names travel fast. You got to get a good name, and you want to keep that name, and man, you'll have all kinds of business if you do it right.
If you do it right, and you know the right people, and you start right here, Just Plain Radio, you filter through me, just bypass me, go right to Ed and Keith at Flight Training Professionals, they'll hook you up, all right?
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere. And you gotta learn to use those wings. Can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. You know, Keith, I never thought a 2x4 would be in a mechanic's toolbox. But, hey, if it works, it works, right?
Well, he keeps those along the wall in the corner. But, yeah, you're right. It's not going to be something that you would think that you were going to repair an airplane with. You kind of think that airplanes are fragile.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're not real sturdy metal, not heavy-duty metal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it works.
It works. It created a bending edge. That's what he needed. And he gave that plane a whack, and it was good to go. Not exactly. But you get the drift. If you know what you're doing with it, it's just a matter of how you know how you work your tools is what makes you effective. That's what my wife says. And we'll just leave that at...
let's leave that alone. Let's move on.
I don't know. When was the last time you bought a new plane? Was it Charlie Mike, the plane that I'm actually learning to fly in, or no?
Yes.
It was.
That's exactly correct, yes.
Now, but that is a 1978?
77.
Airplane, yes. Cessna 172. So it's been a while. Well, no, you didn't buy it back then, I guess, right? How long
have you been? No, I did. I bought it probably 18 years ago now.
Yeah? You had it that long. Okay.
Yeah. So, and, you know, I've had it repainted, and I've had interior redone on it, and, you know, it's kind of, you get excited, you think, oh, man, it's new, it looks good again, you know?
Right, and now you got your eyes set on turning it into one of these, Redbird something rather, diesel planes, probably, huh?
Well, you know, we're thinking about it, you know, just to we like the idea, haven't seen the numbers on it yet. But the performance that we flew of that airplane at Sunny Fun was pretty good.
It was.
And, you know, it was a lot of fun flying it. So I'm just not sure I like the paint scheme yet.
Well, I don't think you have to go with that paint scheme, do you? I mean,
yeah, you do. That's all part of it. You've got to go with the paint scheme.
Okay. Well, You can always put stuff over it. They were just a bunch of stickers that said this side up, but, you know, stickers over top of those if you wanted to be more creative, maybe. Once you buy it, it's yours, right?
Once you put that money into painting it and getting it painted that way, do you really want to put money into redoing it again?
Well, just buy it. We'll figure out that part later.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
That's the spirit. Keep them flying.
1, 2, 3, like a bird I sing, 'cause you've given me the most beautiful set of wings. And I'm so glad you're here today, 'cause tomorrow I might have to go and fly away.
Hey! This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Keith from Flight Training Professionals. All right, so new planes, it's always a fun thing. And I look forward to either having Keith buy one for me, which I'll probably be waiting longer than I'd like, or eventually it will happen. We'll get there eventually. I know one way or another it will happen someday for me. But we got other stuff we got to cover on today's big show. And Keith, I don't know, first of all, I'll offer you up the stage here. What's been showing up on your aviation radar here lately?
Well, one of the things, you know, a couple months ago, we talked about how the Customs and Border Patrol were stopping a lot of private pilots and basically kind of harassing them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was getting kind of ridiculous the amount of times they were being stopped. Well, they have decided to be a little bit more judicious in what they do, in their tactics and how they do it, and who they're stopping, which is really a good thing for private pilots in general aviation. You can now freely fly in and out of the country, and you're not going to be suspected of being a drug smuggler or terrorist or anything like that.
No, wait a minute. What are you saying now? They're profiling and only doing searches on people that look suspicious, like drug dealers? Oh my God, all hell's going to break loose now.
Hey, if you think that this is the first time that our government has profiled, I got news for you.
Yeah.
They're only allowed to say that they don't profile,
right?
But just to keep everything politically correct, but they definitely profile.
Yeah, well, I have no doubt about it. It'd be interesting to know what that profile is, though. What do you think it is in this case? What are they going to narrow it down to on suspicious? I don't know. Well, first of all, what are they looking for? Do we have any idea why they've even been doing this? I mean, I know we've been covering this story, AOPA Live. You know, Tom Haines and those folks have been covering this for some time as well. And I guess just last week, they had another rash of, you know, search and seizure type of things happen with some general aviation pilots. And that was the last wave of, I don't know, it created quite a dust up. And maybe that's why they finally decided, okay, we're officially going to back off a little bit now. Is that what you've been hearing too, or what?
Yes, exactly. But, you know, what exactly have they been looking for? You know,
they won't say.
You know, they can do whatever they want,
mm-hmm.
And they've got national security as their fallback, and, you know, they can treat you in any way, shape, or form. It is no longer innocent until proven guilty. It's guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they've been really harassing people bad.
Yeah, just searching your airplane, these general aviation pilots that are just flying, not even internationally. That's what's kind of strange about the whole thing when this first popped up, I guess about a year ago now at least. But, yeah, it'd be interesting to kind of get an idea of what they're looking for. So if they are doing some kind of profiling, what is it? So we can avoid it, you know? I mean, there hasn't seemed to be any kind of rhyme or reason to the people that they've been harassing over the last year from what I've seen. They just look like these guys look like middle-aged dudes flying their airplanes from this place to that place. Nothing. They don't look suspicious by any kind of traditional sense from a terrorism standpoint, you think?
Well, no, but you know, some of it is drug smuggling, and you know, part of it is where are you going? You know, you don't want to. You know, you fly your airplane into Colombia,
right?
And you come back, and especially if you do this on a regular basis,
uh-huh.
well, which is more than once a month, yeah, you're going to be a target.
Well, I guess if your itinerary includes any portion of Colorado now, you're on the suspect list, maybe.
Well, you know, that could very well be. But, you know, the Bahamas, you know, they've been great places to go and visit, and it's great for private pilots to be able to fly over there and do that.
Right.
You and I have done that a number of occasions. And, you know, it was getting tough for people even just to go there and come back. But that's kind of going to get a lot easier now. So people start flying back to the Bahamas and enjoy your weekends. Go to Bimini, go to Freeport, and you know, enjoy some of those things over there, some fishing and some of the great resorts over there. We've got a couple of great resorts that we are associated with over there, right, Greg?
Yeah, well, Deepwater Key, we got to go. We have an open invite to go over there and do some fishing, diving, paddle boarding, and God knows what else on a little private island. You're going to love that. And they got their own little private 4,000-foot runway. Are you ready?
I am ready to go.
Yeah, we got to do some of that here real soon. So, yeah, that's just a hop, skip, and a jump from the east coast of Florida. Deepwater Key is on the east end of Grand Bahama Island. So that'll probably happen within the next month or so. We're working out the logistics as we speak, but you can check it out, deepwaterkey.com. Deepwater, C-A-Y, by the way, is how you spell it, .com. You got those. But whatever they're looking for or what, I mean, I don't know if they're backing off these search and seizure type of situations altogether, or they've just promised that they're going to back off a little bit or be a little bit more selective. What have you seen?
Well, I think they're going to try and be a little bit more selective in what they're doing. I mean, they haven't found anything. I mean, you look at if you go through the reports, and this is all public record, by the way, you know, if somebody gets an FAA violation or a violation of Border Patrol, is public record, so you can pull it up and look at it. And, you know, less than 30% of what they're finding, people are getting problems. But Custom and Border Patrol finding FAA problems, come on, that's not what their job is.
You know?
And sometimes they're even taking the local police into this. There's one guy, I think, in Lansing, Michigan. He landed his airplane, drove away, and was surrounded a couple miles later by a bunch of squad cars with about 40 officers in, you know, full armor, you know, just because he had left his little airplane at the airport. Come on. That's what this country's all about, freedom.
Yeah. What's the big dealio? I mean, what's the problem? Yeah, well, you know, we don't know what they're looking for. That's one thing. But it's this whole thing like, you know, you're not supposed to be pulled over in your car unless they have a reason. Like you got a busted taillight, you drifted through a stop sign or something. They have to have a reason to pull you over. But that was the problem with these search and seizures searches, illegal searches is what they're saying for these general aviation pilots wanting to search your airplane for, I don't know, you know, they wouldn't say what they're looking for. They just said, we want to search your airplane. And you don't have to give them permission to do that.
Right.
So,
but in the case of Customs and Border Patrol, you don't have to give them permission. They've got permission because it's national security.
Oh, well, okay. Well, see,
they can do whatever they want.
Well, I know there's some kind of questionnaire or thing that you can get from the AOPA. It's probably on their website, aopa.org. And it goes through, if you ever get stopped, what your rights are. So if they try to say, we want to do this, this, and this, you don't necessarily have to give them permission to do this, this, and this, and still be able to protect your rights and not get yourself in trouble. But I don't know what they are specifically, but you don't automatically have to give them permission to search your plane, I don't believe. Am I right?
Yeah, you're correct.
Okay. So, but don't take my legalese at face value, because I really don't know.
go to AOPA.org.
Right.
It is on there.
Yeah.
Go to AOPA.org. Look it up. If you're going to fly outside the U.S. and come back, you're going to deal with customs. Even if you're going to Canada or to the Bahamas, Mexico, wherever you're going, just take the few minutes and get it checked out, you know, so that you know what your rights are.
Yeah.
Probably that you remember the most recognized one of these incidents was actually the people that put together John and Martha King, who do the King videos for multiple ground schools, have done it for years, and they got stopped because the N number on their brand new 172 that they were flying had been reported stolen 20 some years earlier, and they just took the, you know, Cessna just reused the N number because it was you know, gone from the system for so long, and so they just put it on there, and so this all of a sudden got flagged, and little old John and Martha King land in California and get surrounded by cops. Get on the ground with shotguns going at them. It was completely innocent. The airplane obviously was not stolen. It was one of Cessna's aircraft and so forth. But
yeah, it's like you know, frisking Santa Claus and Mrs. Claus. I mean, they're such a nice couple, older nice couple. It is kind of comical, especially with how they tell the story. But I don't know, this whole search in airplanes thing, this is not even international flights. That's what has been kind of weird about this whole thing. But I don't know, time will tell. Know your rights. Go to AOPA.org. Get your rights so you know how to protect yourself if you ever actually get stopped in that way.
Carry it with you.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, cause you know you should do better. That's because you're.
You know, that's Freddie Mercury from Queen. I'm a big fan of Queen, and they just announced this week, Keith, that they're taking some old Freddie Mercury audio and making some new songs with the guys from Queen. Can you wait? Do you think there'll be any other little flying ditties like that one? Spread your wings? Let's hope, right?
Let's hope.
Yeah, it could happen. But anyway, yeah, by the end of the year, new Queen music. Coming our way, supposedly. That could be interesting. All right, so last week was Memorial Day weekend, you know, a big travel weekend. I was in the air, and And I went back and forth from Denver and did a, you know, had a little trip, had a little fun thing going on there, and it went pretty well. But it did cross my mind. I was doing my my chair flying, as I usually do on these commercial airliners, and having people look at me strange while I sit there next to the window seat and act like I'm adjusting the flaps on the landing, especially, is when they look at me kind of strange. But I do this, and, Captain N and Captain Keith, they encouraged me to do this. I really sometimes wonder if it was just for their own amusement, because I don't know if it really helps. You think it really helps, or are you just doing this because you love hearing these stories, how I made a fool of myself to everyone else on the plane?
Just for the idea that I can visualize you sitting in the back of an airplane doing this and making a fool of yourself.
Yes, that is gratification enough to encourage me to do so and use the excuse of, yes, this will be good. This will be part of your flight training to do this. That's what you do.
That's exactly what we do, yes.
Okay, well.
For you.
Yeah, for at least for me. I'm a special case. Yeah, but, it crossed my mind a little bit, being Memorial Day weekend. You know, in the boating world, I do a boating radio show called The World of Boating as well. And you can check it out, worldofboating.com. Holiday weekends are terrible for boating accidents around the country, because you have a tendency to get a lot of amateurs out there that haven't boated in some time, and they get out there in their boats and are a little rusty at the controls, and next thing you know, they have an accident, you know, mix in some booze in there, you know, which isn't as big of an issue with the pilots, thank God, but it has a tendency to increase the incident numbers up in the boating world. Do we see that in aviation at all on holiday weekends, or not as much for general aviation is what I'm talking about, Keith? What do you think?
No, typically where you see issues is not necessarily Memorial Day, but early springtime, especially in the northern states, where pilots have, pilots don't like to get out in really nasty weather. And this year, man, it's just a nasty winter all over up north. And so a lot of airplanes sat all winter. And when you get out, the first time you go out in the spring, you get that first nice day, and it's like, oh, man, the weather's great. I'm going to go flying.
Right.
But you haven't been in an airplane in 6 months. And unfortunately, a lot of incidents happen at that particular time.
Okay. So you won't necessarily have it happen over holiday weekends, but, yeah, spring after coming out of the winter frost or winter freeze.
Yes.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I had that actually happen when I took my instrument check ride.
Yeah.
I did the oral portion, and I'm sitting in the airplane with the examiner. I'm running through the checklist to get the airplane started.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hold on just a minute. And so I stopped, and we look up, and there's a guy running across the ramp. And he was the airport manager as well. And so, you know, the guy comes up to the window, and he goes, you know, hey, this guy just, you know, crashed his airplane and so on and so forth. And so he goes, just hang out here for a minute. He says, you know, or go inside. He says, I'll be back in a minute. I got to take care of this. So about an hour and a half later, he comes back. He says, okay, let's go. So we go, we start up the airplane, and we taxi out. And as we taxi out, there's an airplane laying alongside the runway upside down. What a great way to start your check ride. But it was
wow.
A guy. There's a guy who he hadn't flown in 6 months.
Yeah.
And there was a nice stiff crosswind, and he came in the first landing. And, you know, it just got the better of him and flipped his airplane upside down. Fortunately, the guy was okay. He just got a couple scratches and so forth. But that kind of stuff is pretty common, not necessarily flipping it over, but, you know, just having some rough landings, you know, where you might not do that after you've had a few. But that's why we always recommend, if you haven't flown in a while, take an instructor with you to knock the rust off. Because instructors typically are going to fly on a regular basis, and they can just kind of help you knock that rust off to keep you all safe.
Well, it sounds like that guy was knocking the rust off from the top of his plane. Maybe that will be his excuse.
He did need a new paint job.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the excuse I use. No, that won't ever happen to me. No, but I bet the guy who said, you know, when you're cruising by this, he said, okay, this is your check ride. Just don't do that, and you'll be fine.
No, he did not.
Oh, no?
But it does kind of give you a little bit eerie feeling, you know. And we went out, and we did the check ride and everything, and and came back and landed. The airplane, of course, is still there. And fortunately, we had no incidents. And I did pass my instrument check ride. And so it was all good. But, you know, it just kind of, you know, it's kind of like when you pass a really bad accident on the highway, you know, it just makes you think, you know, hey, I gotta relax just a little bit because, man, that could have easily been me.
Right. I don't want to be that guy. Yeah, exactly. You want to learn from those folks that make the mistakes. So you have to just be aware of that. And, you know, hopefully it'll never happen to you. But if you've done your training properly, you've been trained efficiently, like, you know, from folks at flight training professionals like Captain Ed and Captain Keith, this kind of stuff, you'll be prepared for any kind of emergency that could be thrown your way. And you'll be able to stop, think, and react and be able to manage the situation properly to keep you out of those situations.
That's it.
Did I just earn a brownie point or two just with that little dissertation for you? Come on.
You did earn a brownie point there.
A brownie, thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That or a banana, or well, both. Brownies and bananas. It's a good combination, chocolate, banana kind of thing. Okay?
There you go.
All right.
Put a little ice cream on there, you're good to go.
Cherry on top. All right, we'll leave it at that. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.